Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Good morning. Good to see everybody. And let's, Church at Lake Travis, let's give our guests a great big welcome by clapping our hands and saying thanks for being here. We love having guests join us each and every week, and we're so grateful you've joined us today as we'll get to bless our kids as they go back to school and really rally around them and be a community around them, because we know that they need all the help they can get to thrive and succeed in life, and we want to do that. We want to help them and partner with them. A couple of things. We're in this series, and this is part three of Closer, and we're talking about worship and what that looks like for us. And next week is Vision Sunday. I want you all to be here for that. We're going to be talking about the future of our church and what that looks like for us. And there's some really fun things, exciting things our team has been praying and planning, and so we're grateful to be able to share those with you next Sunday. And then on the following Sunday, actually Labor Day weekend, which I know all of you will be here for, we'll be actually having a series that's designed to invite our friends to. And we know that in this community, that family is a big deal. In fact, on Easter, we surveyed everybody who attended the Easter weekend services. And what we found was that the number one topic that people wanted to learn more about was how to raise their kids. And so we know this is a relevant topic, and we want to help families. So we're starting a series called Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. We all know that there are pressures on our kids, and we want to help families. And so invite families to join us for September 2nd. We'll have some little cards that you can use next week that you can take those to your friends, and that'll be great. Well, again, today we're continuing this series on worship, and it's called Closer. And the first week, if you weren't here, we talked about how worship, how worry is a form of worship. Any worriers here? Like, there are some people that just worry all the time. That's actually a form of giving more credit to your problems than you are to the Lord. And we're saying you can actually transform your worry into worship. I heard a lot of good feedback about that. Lee shared that message. It was really powerful. Go online and listen if you haven't. The next week, we talked about how we were made to worship and how, like, just literally our bodies were made to worship. We have wind instruments and we have stringed instruments and we have percussion instruments within our own bodies. And that's what we were made to do. We were made to worship. And so today, I wanted this to become really practical with all our kids going back to school and parents getting back into rhythms of back to school and all of those things. I wanted it to be really practical. And so today I want to talk about turning your work into worship, turning your work into worship. Like, we all know that we have things that we value in our life. In fact, last week we said that worship is our response to what we value most. Worship is our response to what we value most. And I believe this to be true, that we work almost more than we do anything else. And so essentially in our time, we are valuing work more than we do anything else. And therefore, this, you know, idea is that if we will learn to worship God through our work, if we'll learn to worship Him in our work, that we will draw closer to the Lord maybe than we've ever been before. Here's what one person said about this. They said, we used to be that we work at our play and play at our work. However, they said, today the confusion has deepened. We worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. Now, that's telling. We all work. We have homework. We have schoolwork. We have yard work. We have housework. We have kids going back to school. Schoolwork. We have homework. All of those things. We have work. But what if we did all our work as an act of worship to God? Today, I want to read a couple of scriptures, and I want to share those with you. And then I want us to kind of evaluate ourselves based on these ideas and really a few just kind of visual things that might help you to evaluate where you're at when it comes to, am I worshiping my work or am I worshiping through my work? Here are the scriptures, the first scripture. Colossians 3:23 says this. It's a great back to school verse. Work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Verse 24 says, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you're serving is Christ. The first two things I want you to see from this scripture are, number one, from verse 23, work hard and cheerfully, whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. This speaks to enthusiasm. And that is just like the cheer that we have whenever we go to work, whenever we do school, whenever we go into anything. It's easier to be enthusiastic about our jobs whenever we see our job as that we're working for the Lord rather than for our boss or for a paycheck or whatever it is that we do. With that in mind, I believe you can do anything. You can do crunch numbers or homework or do trades or deals or any kind of manual labor like scraping paint or washing dishes or doing chores at home. All of those things, you can turn them into worship. And how much closer would we be to God if we would turn all those menial tasks into worship? Second, the second verse speaks to this. When you turn your work into worship, you literally start storing up credits in heaven. And we don't always like to talk about that, but here's what it says. It says, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. In other words, God's keeping track of the work that you do for him and how you do it and when you do it for him and when you do it for others. And when you do it for him, he's giving you credit. So as you work for God, you're making eternal deposits in heaven. Your boss really isn't your boss. Jesus is your boss. Your teacher is not really your teacher. Jesus is your teacher. You're not doing those things for them. You're doing it for him. And so another verse speaks to this. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And it says it this way. So whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, some people kind of get confused on that. Like, what does it mean to do all to the glory of God? Let me ask it this way. Does it make God look good to people around you? Does the work you do make God look good to those who are around you? If it does, then it's bringing glory to God. It's bringing honor to him. It doesn't matter if you're rearranging papers or you're signing bills. Any job can become an act of worship if you do it to the glory of God. One of the authors that I follow and really admire is Tim Keller, and he's a pastor up in New York City in Manhattan, and he wrote a book years ago called Every Good Endeavor. It's an excellent book on integrating faith and work. If you are trying to figure out how do I marry the secular space with the faith space, it's an excellent book. And here's what he writes in that book. He says, your daily work is ultimately an act of worship to the God who called and equipped you to do it, no matter what kind of work it is. We'll draw closer to God if we'll start to view everything as an act of worship. Now, I want to invite Tyler to come up here to the drums for a moment, because I need some help demonstrating, and I think this will help us to evaluate where we are on this issue of turning our work into worship. There are all kinds of people here today, and I realize that there are people who may fit into one of these categories that we're going to kind of demonstrate here. There are people here today who work every day, but they don't do very good work. They're a little bit sloppy. And it's kind of like this. Yeah, it's kind of dragging a little bit. It's a little sloppy. They don't quite get their work. They don't have excellence as the standard by which they do work. And we know that excellence honors God and inspires other people. So they don't do their job with excellence. And there are other people who probably more in this category than any other, and that's just people who work way too much. Yeah, they do it even more than that. I mean, they it's just constant. I mean, they're going fast all the time, and they would be in that workaholic category. And that may be for some of you where you're at. I think that may be where a lot of us live. There are other people. This one will be a little bit easier to demonstrate. There are other people who simply don't work at all. Yeah, just lots of rest going on, lots of rest. Oh, yeah. And the reality is, people that do that, they demonstrate what the scripture says, a little sleep and a little slumber and poverty is going to come on you like a bandit. It's going to rob you. That's what the scripture teaches about lazy people. And here's what I want you to see. All of these demonstrated are out of rhythm. They're out of sync. And it doesn't take long for us to realize that. And we start to see that when we're not in rhythm, we're not worshiping God through our work. Now, how many of you would just say you work more than you should? I mean, yeah, I'm in that category. You just work more than you should. You bring your laptop home and it's open while you're sitting in the chair and the kids are all playing around you, but you're not tuned into them. You're tuned into what's on your lap or this device right here, right? Like always. Right. I mean, like, I get it. No, none of us are immune to that. This week, I was preparing. I'm going to Montana today to go teach at a men's retreat for 5 days. I know you're sad for me, but I'm going to do that. And so this past week was crazy busy. Like, I'm preparing for this message today. I'm preparing for talks that I'm going to do in Montana. I'm preparing for Vision Sunday, and we had our staff retreat. And so I'm just working and working and working. In fact, Micah this morning asked me, he's like, "You okay?" And I'm like, he's like, "You just seem a little uptight." I'm like, "Well, I might be because I've been working, you know." And so this week, one of my kids said, "Hey, Dad, I want to talk with you about something." And we were just sitting at the table, but I was on my phone. And so I just start, you know, I'm looking at my phone, and I can't remember what I was doing, responding to an email or text or whatever. I was just working. But it led to hurt feelings, and it led to an argument, and it led to me not prioritizing family over work. And can I just say that when we don't have rhythm in our life, we don't honor God. We don't worship God through our work. Now, all of us have something that shapes our view of work, and I think we always have to kind of take inventory of that and see, what is it? What's that thing driving us? What is that unhealthy space that needs to be adjusted or directed? For me, my pawpaw was my hero, and you all have heard me talk about him. He passed away a couple of years ago, but before, when I was growing up, he was like my father figure. He kind of raised me because my dad wasn't around. And so as I followed his model, he was a workaholic. I mean, he owned convenience stores in Southeast Texas, and convenience stores 24/7, right? Like, and when you own 22 of them, then it's really all the time. It's work all the time. And he would travel and see every store every day. He was a workaholic. And so that was the model for me, and that's what I know. And so I've spent years trying to establish some healthy rhythms. I believe that all of us need that kind of rhythm. In fact, what if our life and our work could be like a song to God? Like, if you beat on a drum and then you take a rest. Thank you.
it feels right.
It's a good rhythm. I'm working. I'm resting. I'm working. I'm resting. When you create a rhythm, that pleases God. That honors Him. In the Genesis account of creation, we see this happen, right? Where God is working, and then rest. All of creation mimics this. Turning our work into worship is learning these rhythms of work and rest. And I would add celebration into that, because when you enjoy it, I think God enjoys it. Work is a good thing. And let me add this piece of celebration, because I think it's really relevant to our successes. Like, hey, we won, we achieved the goal, we closed the deal, whatever it was. Let's celebrate. Like that should be a rhythm in our organizations. We don't hit the goal and then just, let's go to the next goal. Like, no, we need to stop and celebrate. The other piece of celebration is for other people's successes. Now, here's what I mean by that. Jealousy about what other people achieve can drive us to unhealthy behaviors. Jealousy about the other company and what they've done and what they're achieving can drive us to unhealthy patterns of work and other unhealthy rhythms. Other things like a jealousy over a teammate and what they're achieving. Like, so how, what is the solution for jealousy? The solution for jealousy is celebration. Like, you get to the point where you can say, how awesome is that, that they're doing that? I know we're not going to work like they did to do that, but hey, that's awesome for them. Isn't that great for them? I think about this. My best friend is Stephen Burton, and he's in our wedding. He introduced my wife and I. We've been friends for years, and he does a lot of our graphics work for the church as well, even though he lives in Atlanta. And we stay in touch. We talk once a week, and we're buds. Well, years ago, whenever I was working on staff at a church in South Florida, I hired him to come and be on our family ministry team. And I was so excited about working with him, but very quickly I became insecure, because Stephen is a dynamic, passionate, creative person who is a great communicator, and I just got a little bit insecure about that, and I remember that jealousy creeping in, like, wow, when Stephen gets up, and especially in spontaneous situations, he just knows what to say. He just knows how to communicate. And wow, when he tells that Bible story, it just comes to life. And I wish I could do it, you know. And I started to see this jealousy creep in. And then God revealed this, like, oh man, I just need to celebrate him and his differences and his uniqueness and how God's wired him. And as I celebrate him, what I started to see is that jealousy would go away, because I don't believe jealousy is honoring to God either. Sometimes this is jealousy of another employee or company, whatever, and we just have to stop and recalibrate and find a way to celebrate that thing. Tyler, give me Money Beat 1. Just, yeah, Money Beat. This makes drummers money. Just this beat right here, okay? You can keep this beat, you're good. Okay? Work. Rest. Celebrate. Work. Rest. Celebrate. Yeah, all right, good. Thanks, Tyler. Everybody thank Tyler. Yep. Good. So, I think about this. What's that movie, Hitch or something, like, where it's like, keep it right here. Just, you know, just rhythm. Like, keep that smooth work, rest, rhythm. And that is honoring to God. That is honoring to God. So let me ask you, where are you when it comes to this whole work, rest, rhythm? Are you in sync? Or are you all over the place? working hard? Or are you kind of sloppy in your work? What do you need to adjust? What do you need to recalibrate? Think about that. Let me illustrate this another way, and this is just a visual that helps me. What kind of spoon is this? This is a feeding spoon, right? Like, what do you do with this spoon typically? You eat, you feed yourself. And so you can approach your work from this perspective, like, I'm going to get mine. Now, I'm going to make sure that I do what's necessary for me to get praise and me to get accolades and me, and but it's all about me, and I'm just feeding. And here's what the scripture says: if you sow sparingly, that you get that back in the same return, you reap sparingly. How about this spoon? What kind of spoon is this? Serving spoon. A serving spoon. And what do you usually do with a serving spoon? Sometimes you feed yourself, but most oftentimes you're serving others. You're helping others. You're adding value to others. You're making an impact. You're making a difference. You're doing things thinking, how can I help that person succeed, and how can I help them win in life? I read a book a couple of years ago called The Go-Giver, and I highly recommend it along these lines. Like, are you serving? Are you serving from the perspective of being a giver, or are you from the perspective of the taker? And it's an awesome book because it's written in this parable form, and it was this guy's journey of being a taker and him being connected to someone else who was all about adding value and serving and giving to others, and this transformation that occurs where he learns to be a giver and realizes, wow, there's so much more benefit to being a giver. So evaluate yourself on that. And when it comes to my work, am I all about me? When it comes to my team, am I all about me? When it comes to my schoolwork, am I all about me? Or am I also looking out for others and thinking of how can I help others? This is practical stuff, guys. And it really is a picture of Christ and what he did whenever he came. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And then he added this phrase, he said, "and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the message of Christianity. This isn't some kind of God that we serve who wanted to do a power play in our life and try to somehow rule with an iron fist. No, 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 no. Our God condescended, had all of heaven at his disposal, but abandoned heaven and came to earth so that he could lay down his life so that you and I could have a relationship with God. And so maybe you're here today, and the big deal for you isn't this work stuff. You've kind of got that taken care of, but you don't have your relationship with God settled. And so I want to invite you right now just to bow your heads right where you are. And for you, you may be here and you may be evaluating this issue of work, and just ask, what are you hearing, and what is God asking you to do in response to that? Are you creating healthy rhythms, or are you out of rhythm? Are you serving, or are you taking? And how can you readjust and make adjustments that will glorify and honor God? And then for those of you who are here who say, no, I simply need to reconnect with God. I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer right there in your heart. That you would say, God, here I am. And I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to lead my life. And I put my faith and trust in Jesus because he laid down his life for me on the cross. And that's the kind of God I want to follow and serve. Now, if you prayed that prayer here today, the words were not magical, but the faith in which you express those words in your heart, that God says that you became a child of God today, and we celebrate that with you.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.